All right, man. Back at it, making it happen on the Mr. Peter Parker Show. Heavy hitters, we are here. The God Tito Jackson, he's in the vicinity. What's up, man?
Peace. What up?
Okay, today on the program, I'm good. We're going to talk to the Pimp Wise P and my man Yogi. He used to be in the crew. He's produced a lot of hits. They have a new video out today. We're going to talk about their relationship with Black Rob and being veterans in the game. Also, we're going to talk about the implosion of the Joe Budden podcast, our new radio show we got going on in Albany, New York, me and D. Mill. Also, the confusion with this LeBron James hate 18 years into his career. It's something else, man. Hold on. I think he's about to tap in. Hold on. I told you my people were going to be in here. Tito, we're clapping in the studio right now. Wise P. Hey, Yogi, nice to meet you, fam.
Good to meet you too, B.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a longtime crew listener. Dirty 30 is an album that I talk to people about a lot. And before Wise is here, but we're going to talk to Yogi. And I tell them, like, you remember the crew? You remember that album?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a conversation piece. And it's such a good listen then, but now it really stands the test of time. The production, the emceeing, it's a classic.
Much appreciated.
Round of applause in the studio, please. Tito,
take that.
Flowers, here you go.
Good to be here.
Classic. I told him off the camera the first record that I ever spun on 1200s in my whole life in 97 was Just Another Case with Slick Record. It's real. So congratulations.
That's love.
You guys have a video out today. Tears for Gucci happens to be my favorite song off Son of a. We talked about it when it first dropped. Wise, you and your man seem like the chemistry on this record and some of the stuff you've done in the past. I know his production credits are elite, right? We're talking about Bad Boy Family, Terror Squad, talking about hit records, right? But you guys really got a good vibe. Talk about your relationship, man.
Well, I call him Yogi the Great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Yogi's record featuring me. Cause he, he laid the foundation for it. Mm-hmm. That I thought it was just such a amazing mesh of some fly shit, mm-hmm. along with a Black Power Method message with it. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I thought it was the illest balance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a perfect Wise P record. I feel like that. It's a perfect record for you. It's like really like defines who you, because the high art aspect of the vibe of it, and then the gutterness, it's very dope, very dope.
And that was the brilliance of it, because it stays in the underground street pocket that I like to be in. At the same time, you know what I'm saying? It has some value in the market. If that's not what you're looking for, you can still find value in the record. It's just it's a great balance.
Now let's talk about this video, because I was very impressed. I called Re-Rock. I was like, get these guys on the Zoom immediately. Now you produced Let's Get It by G Dep, correct?
Absolutely.
There's a vibe there of the sound stage and the whole. It gives you an early Bad Boy kind of. Special delivery type of a vibe in a way when I saw that, and I was like, yo, this is really, really dope. Whose idea was the whole video?
Shout out to Last American B-Boy, and shout out to Wise P the Pimp. I wanted to keep it once again on some Black excellence shit, and at the same time, I wanted to have a fun feel. Yogi came along, he was rocking the cleats, he made it original, you know. I don't think anybody ever wore cleats in the video. No. You know what I'm saying? He just came with that message, and you know, the idea of having different sceneries in the background playing off the walls was a combination of me and American B-Boy. Shout out to him, Neff.
Super, super tough. How did it feel to have the OGs out on the set? Because I see some veterans out there moving around. I see
gray beards.
Some gray beards.
Gray beards out there.
The bottle of Vive. I know the energy. You know, I know what you're doing out there with this. How did it feel? It looked good. It looked like it was a lot of fun, man.
It was, man. It was a good balance of business folk in there with a lot of cats off the block. You know, ripped up, making sure shit was good.
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying? Legend.
And then we had you know, Yogi in there, man. Just it was splendid, man. Everybody got along. We really had fun, man. So that comes through.
Felt good.
No, that's very, very cool. Back to you guys' relationship. When did you guys first really click off? Like, when did you guys meet up?
We clicked through music through Team Demo. Shout out to Team Demo.
Yeah,
the producers that produced the whole album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cozy, Dowtone. Yeah, we just clicked through music, man. That was, you know, that was it. Then when we finally did meet up, you know what I mean? It just felt like I had a brother. It just felt natural.
Yeah.
That, no doubt. Great.
He's a really easy guy to get along with too, Yogi. Wise is like really affable. Everybody, every time he's life of the party.
Forget about it.
Every time.
Forget about it.
Every time. So
it's like, exactly. He's absolutely right. It felt like I met a brother. I was like, yo, I know this dude.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I was. Right. Me and him clicked up like that down in Virginia. I was like, wherever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, very, very cool. Both of you guys, I know, had a relationship with Black Rob. You guys both know Black Rob, correct?
Absolutely.
Tragically, we saw the little video, and he passed away about a month ago. I feel like there was a lot of great tributes for him, and I feel like he's an underappreciated artist in some way. I had a very large record. Tito was laughing about a story one time where Woe saved my life at a party, literally.
Yep.
Like, people were throwing microphones at me, and I dropped Woe and got him back. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't even know he saved my life. Talk about Black Rob and what kind of guy that was.
Well, BR, me and BR, we grew up together. Jefferson mm-hmm. Project, shout out to the whole project, you know what I'm saying? And I brought Rob to Bad Boy, you know what I'm saying? You know, he was on the Crew album.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I knew that. Yeah.
So, we go back, you know. Rob was an interesting guy, loved him to death.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had some amazing times, especially at the beginning. You know, it was like, you know, running around the industry, just, you know, me telling everybody, yo, this dude right here, he's a god MC, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the block, Robbie O was Rakim. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he was Rakim to us. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, yo, the world needs to know that. And I'm glad the world got a chance to, you know, hear him and see for themselves.
He was a character. He was a very unique personality in his own way.
Man.
And he seemed like a really good stand-up guy. And to see him towards the end was tough. Me and Tito, and I'm not here to put anybody business out there.
Yeah.
One time, we ran into Mr. Cheeks one time, and it wasn't the best interaction, to put it that way. We talked about it afterwards, like, man, who's looking out for these guys towards the end of their career, and even just really like reaching out in any sort of way, you know what I mean? So it's great to hear that. I didn't know you brought him to Bad Boy like that. He his verse on the Puff Daddy album, talking about throwing bottles, is one of my all time favorites, you know what I mean?
So yeah.
What about you, Wise? You had a good interaction with him?
And Rob. We used to catch up at the party scenes, and I remember one time me, him, and Raz Cash. This is back when the heavy Rob used to stay with the heavy Avirex leather joints. You know what I'm saying? Me, him, and Raz, we met up. I forget the name of the club. It was somewhere in Chelsea. I forget the name of the club at the moment, but we went in there. You know, Rob's on fire. You know what I'm saying? I'm rolling with the whole rock thing. You know, we got what we used to call, you know, facial credit. You know what I'm saying? At the door.
Mm-hmm.
Facial, platinum in the face. Go in the joint. And that will be the last. The rest I'm going to leave alone, but I haven't drank Hennessy since. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Wow. Everybody got a Hennessy story.
I mean,
That's a fact.
I put it down. Like, it's cool. I like it. No, not, I see Nas peddling it online. And thank you, Nas, but no, I've had enough. Unbelievable, man. Nah, man, but yo, you're going down the list, man. You work with Diddy, Busta Rhymes, Terror Squad, G Dep, did a record with Method Man. It's like a really cool run, man. Really, I didn't know you did a lot of this behind the scenes stuff past the Crew album. A very, very cool shit to learn that today.
Yeah, man. I did a lot of things, you know what I'm saying? I always stayed, you know, in the after the Crew stuff, I stayed in the background. And even when I was doing the Crew stuff, like the plan was sort of for me to, you know, be in the background, even with that. I had a partner, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people don't know about Mighty Hall. He was the third member of Crew. Mm-hmm. And he was in college
mm-hmm.
when the Crew album came out, you know? So, you know, he wasn't around.
Yeah. Right.
So imagine a lot of people that. Didn't wow. see him, but he had, you know, his personality was supposed to be the focal point of the group.
Oh, wow.
You know, but when, since he was away, I had to, you know, I had to step up a little bit and, you know, take wow. a little bit more of a, of a, that. Of That's a lead. Crazy. Yeah.
That makes sense though. Well, that makes sense though. Why kind of, and like, no disrespect. It maybe didn't do the numbers that it should have done or
right.
supposed to go. It felt like it was an album that kind of came and it should have been bigger than it was. And it's
right.
like a, at this point, like a cult classic, like, oh,
right.
crazy. I mean, you work with Slick Rick. Were you in the lab with Ricky D? Were you in there with Slick?
Woo! I was in the lab with Rick. I got there when the verse was done. Oh. And I was like, it was just like one of those things where it was, it's you know, it's it was a moment, you know what I mean? Yeah. Listen, man, I had a chance to work with Rick, Rakim, and G-Rap. Mm. And that's like, you know, and KRS-One, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
The
quadfecta. Yes, the so gods of the game. Like
the gods of the game. So,
yeah.
You know, who can ask for anything more?
That's something special. That verse is really cool. And recently,
yeah, that be I'm about to find where Yogi Mailbox is at. The publishing checks is going crazy.
They're coming in. That's what I'm saying. That's where you get. That's why I know. Listen, I was going to ask you guys, like, you guys are veterans, right? You've been around doing this 20 years plus, been doing this stuff. Do you find the new generation and the social media and stuff is opening up doors again for you guys to get back active in the music business?
Most definitely. I love it.
Yeah, I feel like you're about to go crazy. I feel like Wise is like gassing up again, you know?
Yeah. It's like, you know what I'm saying? I talked to my peoples about it, and it's just like, it's open, it's out there. Now you can, there's nobody saying, okay, well, your time is this, your time was that. Now you can give it to the people and let the people have it and let them say.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes these motherfuckers out here, yo, you know, niggas try to shelf you before your time is up.
And
you
know what I'm saying? Yeah, stupid.
Now, you know what I mean?
I remember that I had this epiphany. I asked this guy in the office. I was like, we're at the radio station. And I was like, yo, you think Kanye's, it was when Kanye was wilding. I'm like, you think Kanye's going to get canceled? He was like, and he looked at me dead in my face. He was like, shout out to my man Chaz Kangas. He was like, no one's ever really going to get canceled, because if you got the social media, there's a market really for everything. It may not be as big as it once was, but you're going to be able to serve somebody that wants the shit forever.
The fact.
And I'm like, oh, that's how I need to look at this.
There's always a lane.
Always. Yeah. For weirdo shit, for good shit, for like whatever, you know? Yogi, are you excited to work with younger artists, or do you like working with veterans?
No, I mean, I do like working with the younger artists. You know, I mean, a lot of times, you know, they have a different way of thinking. I can't even lie. They're not talking about, they don't care about record labels. They don't care about production credits.
Sample,
you know, they
clearance.
Have a YouTube.
Right.
They don't. So they have a different mentality, but I appreciate it because, you know, they, just the way I can teach them something. They're teaching me something.
Yeah.
You know, I think right now, the way things are going, I think this is the best. If you're an artist, this is the best time right now. It's no, you know, you don't have to deal with the gatekeepers, right. You know? And
seems like a common theme now, too, because everybody we talk to has been saying, like, yo, I have so much freedom, so much opportunity, so much, you know, to just do what I want to do. And I think that's really important. I see you, Wise. I see how you moving. I like that, man. It's definitely
inspiring.
A breath of fresh air, you know?
It is.
Bless up.
I've been listening for years, you know what I mean? Like,
could you imagine back in the days when you had to send out two pieces of vinyl to 500 DJs?
Oh, right.
The cost. Oh, now you can just push a button.
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
If I wanted to do a party, I had to spend $300 on vinyl. So maybe you got $250, so you spent $50 just to do the party because you had to get all the new music.
PP real, we stole all the vinyl from the radio station.
We did steal a lot of vinyl. I got thrown out of a lot of record stores too. Trust me, they're like, get them out of here.
You couldn't take me to a radio station in like the late 90s without me jacking at least 10 records.
Everything. Yeah, he's a thief, people. He's a thief. Congratulations to you guys. You guys are inspiring, and the record is amazing. And yo, great to connect with you guys today. Round of applause, Tito, in the studio, the Pimp Wise P and Yogi.
Yes, sir.
Making a lot of
more coming too, man. No, Team Demo album. Yogi, man, y'all ain't heard nothing yet. Y'all ain't heard nothing yet from the great one.
I know what you're doing. Like, we may have to connect off of this. I got a couple things shaking, Yogi. I'm going to reach out to you.
That's what's up. Hey, Wise up. We're going to make it happen.
Yo, respect.
I'm riding his way. That's my guy right there.
Wise is managing you. Is this what you're saying? Is this happening?
I got to reach out to Wise. That's my guy right there.
Listen, he'll take a percentage. Be careful. Hold on, man. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for coming by today, man.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, having us, man.
Right, my guy.
Tears for Gucci. Drop it.
Out.
Check that out. Hey,
Tears for Gucci. Hit. Yeah. Out now. All right, man. That was very, 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 very cool. I was going to push Wise to tell me a Jay-Z story.
But save that.
We got great Black Rob stories today. And they shared a lot of cool stuff with us talking about working with Slick Rick. So shout out to those guys. Video out right now. Wise P featuring Yogi. It's called Tears for Gucci off the album. Son of a great comeback album from my friend Wise P. He's a phenomenal guy. Like one of the coolest, man. Like,
yes,
it's my bro, man. We used to party in VA at a dive bar in Leesburg, Virginia. And it was really ratchet. Yeah, very, 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 very cool shit. So, hey, did you happen to see, they joked about it, and did you see what happened with the Joe Budden shit?
I've been paying attention a little bit. I saw there was like a complete implosion pretty much at this point. Right? Is that what we call it? Is that what we're going to call it?
I guess so. I mean, it's typical Budden fashion of things get good, people are around me, people are supporting me,
tear it down, throw it away.
Disrespect everyone.
Yeah, it's.
Let me get into it. Let me get into it. I know this guy from back in the day very casually. We booked him for concerts. There was a time when it was a dream for me in Leeds to book a Joe Budden concert. We used to sit in the apartment and come up with these like dream concerts, like imagine Joe Budden Middle East downstairs. This is
before
like,
you continue. He was on my top five.
100% off the Clue mixtapes.
Yes,
and the first album and the mood music shit.
Top of
favorite rappers.
Yes.
One of my favorite rappers. So we booked him right when I moved to Minnesota. We booked him for the Middle East downstairs for the first time. And so I had spoken the phone a little bit to him, set the show up. It was like not a tour date. It was something that I went and was like, I want this show. And we made it happen and whatever. Mm-hmm. And we built with him. And I remember talking to him on the phone and stuff and building with him. And then I went to the concert and I flew back for the concert. And we get there and he looked at me like he didn't even know who I was. And I was like, oh, there's something wrong with this dude. He's not correct. And so then over the years, I continued to try to press for the relationship because I was such a fan and had so much respect for the guy. I like really wanted to press for the relationship. But it was always like I have an interview at the Middle East downstairs that's kind of awkward between us where we're like, I'm visibly frustrated trying to connect with him over time. And then he blocked me on social media. I remember on Twitter, he blocked me like four years ago. And I remember being, what is wrong with this guy? Like, this is so weird.
For like nothing? Or like,
I have no idea. I have no idea. And I'm not even reckless on social media anymore. So like,
no, I was like, anymore.
Oh. In the beginning I was. Before it was a thing, I was in there. Twitter fingers, man. But not anymore.
Yeah.
So fast forward over the years, I've just noticed the pattern. And if anybody wants any clarity, and I say this with all due respect, it's Mental Health Month right now. I've suffered from mental health issues in the past. I salute anyone that's going through it. There's a show called The Therapist. And it's this older Black guy that does interviews with people. Like, I can't remember his name. He interviewed Prodigy right before he died. And he talks to Budden about his life. It's very, very, very eye-opening on why Joe is the way he is, his parents and this. And what he went through as a kid. I have respect for Joe Budden, but it's disgusting to see him just trounce his friends and throw people away, and just the way he destroys things. It's sad. Sucks.
It's self-destructive, man. It's really, it's horrible. Like,
anybody that gets close to him or tries to help him pushes him away. But if you know the story, this is why empathy comes into play when you're dealing with addicts or people that are going through personality disorders. You're like, okay, why is this person like this? And if you look through the history of the kid and what he went through, there's a moment when he's talking about firing Rory And he's like, oh, I keep on thinking back to all the moments we had as friends and this, that, and the third. And he starts laughing. And I was like, that person is not well, because this is a moment I felt like he was going to cry. Like, he lost his friends through this.
Well, and, you know, he's probably reliving a moment in his mind. And it was probably a funny moment. And then, like, he didn't know how to deal with the emotion. You know what I mean?
People, I know people that are very damaged, that instead of crying, they laugh.
Yeah.
When they feel uncomfortable, they start
laughing. They
laugh. It's like a trigger. Yeah. It's like a weird.
Yeah.
So I suggest anyone check that out. And I feel for the guy, because it's looking like it's, hopefully he can rebuild.
It's too bad, because, you know, like, such a great outlet that he had, and he, you know, his platform was good.
Of course. And you know, look, I don't know Rory and Mal. I don't know those guys. You know what I mean? Right. I never interacted with them. They seem cool. They're Budden's friends. It's a sad state of affairs. So that shit's a wrap. I kind of studied the model before we started this. And I remember talking to you about the Joe Budden model and what they were doing. And I was inspired by it. I will not be throwing Tito under the bus, at least until episode 400. Okay.
Just 400 works for me.
If you can get 400 episodes,
if I can get to 400 and then you throw me under the bus,
you probably want to be out at that point.
I fuck that.
I've been listening to Pete for how long? There's a shit. Right.
I mean, I feel like every life has been this 400th episode, you know?
We're not at 400?
We aren't.
Fuck you.
What the fuck is going on?
Okay.
These conversations, because this is probably one of the realest conversations we've had on this real, like, you know what I mean? Like,
hey,
and it's like, yo, we've had these real conversations for our whole lives. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As long as we've known each other, you know, like,
right.
So it's fun. It's good times.
This is real. This is episode 399. We're back at it on the Mr. Peter Parker podcast. Okay. Also,
let's get into this other stuff, because we're moving.
I can't do 90 minutes again like with Danny Boy. So me and D Mill, shot to Danny Boy. It was dope.
He had so much great stuff to talk about, though. He was so awesome.
Go check that out
if you got an hour and 90 minutes.
We're going to send some breakouts soon. All right.
Yes.
So me and D Mill have launched our syndicated weekend mix show that's happening now in Albany, New York on Sunday nights, 10 to 2 a.m. Over the last couple of weeks, we had a lot of guests on there. I had a bunch of audio from the radio stations I've worked at that people mm-hmm. haven't heard, like, so, in studio interviews
mm-hmm.
for artists that I only use portions of, and like, I know they just, it's exclusive mm-hmm. shit that no one, so like Meek Mill, I got this thing with Bieber, some Nipsey Hussle audio that no one's ever heard, Khalid,
nice.
Fredo Bang. I got this Mac Miller interview, that a piece of that on there. So the mix show is kind of like a mixtape feel with artist interviews. Mm-hmm. New one coming this week, but we're on 96.3 Jams, upstate Albany, New York. Shout to Mike Ryan, John Riley, and a whole crew up there.
Yeah, dope.
We're getting started.
You got some other news, though, too, Pete.
What happened?
Official tour DJ of RJ Payne.
Yeah. Me and RJ been working a lot behind the scenes, and I've been helping him out a little bit, just kind of getting his stuff together, because I saw him working. We have a mutual friend, CR the Beast, and mm-hmm. RJ asked me to do some stuff with him and go out on some tour dates with him. I've always wanted to DJ for a rapper. I've done it before, but I've never done it like on a tour or had like a real routine with it.
Right.
So I DJ for NBS a couple of times, my man Twin City Tone. Like, I've done like,
well, you already know when you're up in the Northeast, come holler at your boy. I'm taking the trip.
Listen,
so let me know.
It's happening. You're going to be out with us. And I wanted to DJ for a rapper like that probably since I was like 11 or 12. So it's,
I think it's a great, I think it's a great fit. I think that, you know, it'll be dope for you.
And I'm going to help him with some stage show and like add some performance value to it, because he's super, super nice. And I have a lot of energy, so we'll figure it out together. You know what I mean?
Chainsaws. I'm just going to say chainsaws.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, man. So that's going down. And before we get up out of here, I want to touch on this LeBron James situation, who happens right now currently to be a co-owner, a piece. He has a piece of the action out there over at Fenway. He's a co-owner of the Boston Red Sox, so I have a lot of respect for him. I lived in Cleveland. I saw his impact on the community. I saw his impact on the town with the sports. He hit a big shot last night, a crazy three-pointer at the end of the game, and people still are hating on LeBron James. And now, you don't like his style of play. We talked about this. You're not a LeBron James fan.
It's all right. I'm not I'm not a LeBron James basketball player fan. Listen, he's, I think the flopping he doesn't need to do. I think that the theatrics and all that stuff he doesn't need to do.
Right.
He's the best player in the world. He's a great guy.
And the best player.
He's, you know, like we talked about, you know, he started the schools and he did all the stuff, which is, I think, is really important. And like, you know, he stood up for, you know, a lot of human rights stuff. And I applaud him for that. All that stuff aside, you don't need to throw yourself on the floor. You don't need to act like you got shot when you got. I understand you got poked in the eye, and you know maybe I don't know what it's like, and I get that. But
face like, rake, it looked like a face rake.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
I saw a clip on the internet the other day.
Bro, you would have thought that man caught a hot one. It was on the verge of
do this and shoot a jump shot. Like, what are you talking about? shoot.
Stick your whole finger up your eyeball and shoot.
All in your eye and shoot.
I mean, come on, bro.
I got it.
I don't know. Yo, no. You're the best. But it's not just that, right? It's not just that instance. You know what I mean? And
are you
know.
A Skip Bayless guy? Are you down with Skip?
Fuck Skip. Fuck him.
Fuck Skip. Listen, I think LeBron is fantastic. And I'm kind of like where I was towards the end of Kobe Bryant's career. I'm enjoying watching him play, and I'm thankful that a guy like LeBron is still out there playing, right? Because, you know, think guys like Isaiah Thomas and Larry Bird, they have short careers. They only like 12, 13 years in the league.
LeBron, I mean, Larry played for a long time, but Larry was hurt for the legitimate end of his career. You know what I mean?
78 to 92, and he wouldn't play last
year. You know, and Larry's got like what? Like his back is all in pieces, all
done.
And he goes and lays on the court on the side, and then gets back up and he plays. But you know, like I don't know.
How about this? Answer me this: what? Is LeBron a better player than Larry?
Why are you gonna fucking ask me that? Like that's
is LeBron better than Larry?
I mean, LeBron is top three players in ever. You know what I mean? That's
okay.
So I'm not saying that he's like better than Larry,
but savior. But I get it. I get it. My point is like this: if you're still like, if you see a shot like this and you say it's lucky, or you look at LeBron and think he's a piece of shit, I get not liking the flopping, but you have appreciation for him as a man. I feel like if you hate on LeBron James this point of the game, you're kind of like low key like a racist person or some sort of like inside turmoil going on with you where you're projecting some sort of negative energy on a guy like that. I'm happy and thankful LeBron's still playing ball, and I don't
know. Well, you know what? When people say, you know, the whole shut up and dribble thing and all that ridiculous stuff, like, yeah, that's stupid. Like that shit is whack. Like you got to understand he's a role model, and he's going to use his platform to get out the message that he needs to get out and all that. I just don't like the theatrics. I didn't like him. I didn't like when he went to the Heat and did that whole thing.
Bad. You
know, two.
Hollywood like LeBron. What he should have.
Yeah,
remember when Hollywood Hogan had the dark beard.
Yes, you know what I mean?
That was evil LeBron.
Yeah. You know, it was like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't like all that. Like, I don't feel like he ever needed to do all that shit.
You don't hate on him.
No, I mean, like, he's the best basketball player in the world. Like, I mean, come on. Like, and when he hits shots like that, he should be applauded. But, like,
get a man his respect, man. It's the king, man. I lived in Cleveland. I saw what it was. And I'm a diehard Celtics fan. Somebody asked me if I hate the Lakers recently. And I was like, I don't hate any team. I really don't like the New York Giants. That's probably the only team that I'm like, ugh.
I fucking hate the Nets. I fucking hate them.
No, I don't hate nobody.
I hate the Nets.
Enjoy watching athletes play at a high level.
I hate the Jets. I hate the fucking Yankees.
I won't wear a Yankees hat ever. I cannot do that. I won't do that. Now, I like the Knicks, and I'm glad the Knicks are back good.
I was always a Knicks fan. I liked the Knicks. I was a Starks fan. You know what I mean?
I did New York Giants. I got, that's the team. Somebody asked me, do you hate the Lakers? I said, the only thing I hate is the cops. Like, I'm like, other than
fuck 12, fuck 12.
That's it. We out of here. Episode 14. It's the Mr. Peter Parker podcast. That's the God Tito Jackson heavy hitters. Let's worldwide. Go.